Man, I thought you'd never find this place. I don't understand. And ask him why you have allowed me in.
We welcome. Hey there, listeners. This is DJ Gossip Girl, and you're listening to You Know You Love It, dishing on celebrity news, trends, and gossip, only on radio.dominican.edu.
You've always been. You've always been. You've always been. I've always been. I've always been. I've always been. I've always
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to You Know You Love It with DJ Gossip Girl. It is Saturday, February 23rd on this lovely sunny but kind of cold afternoon. For some of you who've tuned in last week, you are probably a little confused as to why I'm on right now. So let me clear up confusion. This past Monday, I was gone for a tennis tournament and I was unable to come and record my show. So I'm making it up today. But after today, my show will still regularly be on Mondays 3 to 4. So make sure to keep tuning in. And if you're listening and you're new, welcome. I love new listeners. So for those of you who are new, I'm going to introduce you to my first segment of the show. It's celebrity news. It's kind of what's going on in the celebrity world, what's hot in Hollywood, controversial and slightly stupid. I mean, everyone knows there's those stories that are like, why does anyone care? But my job is to tell you what those stories are. So starting off, Steven Tyler has finally put a more realistic dollar figure on how much money he's blown in his life. Not that he hasn't already taken and written extensively about past drug use, but the Aerosmith frontman says in a new interview airing Sunday on Australia's 60 Minutes that he has probably snorted $5 million to $6 million worth of cocaine, not the $20 million he estimated in the 2011 memoir. Does the noise bother you in my head? That was the memoir, by the way. But it doesn't matter, he told reporter Liz Hayes. You could say I snorted half of Peru, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's all we did. Anti-paparazzi Steven Tyler act is close to passing in Hawaii. Well, maybe it doesn't matter to him, but think of how his nostrils must have felt. And yet, here he is, 20 years sober. When it comes to hard drugs and alcohol, trips to rehab in 2008 and 2009 were to ward off potential problems with pain medication while he was recovering from foot surgery and other chronic injuries, and about to be inducted in Songwriters Hall of Fame along with Aerosmith guitarist and fellow Toxic Twin Joe Perry. Asked by Hayes how he felt about the Toxic Twins' moniker now, Tyler says, We still are. We still can be toxic. We fight toxically. We play toxically, but happily. Tyler seems to be living a less and far more less toxic life. I don't know if any of you watch American Idol. He's a judge on the show. I think he's like, 2 years new? 3 years new? I really haven't heard much of his songs. I don't know much about him because he wasn't in my time period per se, but I mean, he seems like a pretty cool dude. I mean, he's very upfront and honest, and I feel like, I mean, I'm such a strong supporter of people hitting rock bottom and making comebacks. So I think it takes, I mean, one big like fall down to fall on your face to really understand and grasp the concept of how lucky you are and how blessed you are to be in the spot you are. So I'm rooting for Steven Tyler. I mean, he seems like an awesome guy, and I can't wait to see where he'll continue to go. Moving right along, in honor of the Oscars, which is today, woo! For all you girls out there and guys, award show season is awesome. I love it. The dressing, the makeup, the hair, the dates, it's wonderful. I love it. Elton John and David Furnish's Oscar party never fails to impress. Close to 1,000 people will gather under a tent in West Hollywood Park on Sunday night to help raise an estimated $4 million for the Elton John AIDS Foundation. It's the biggest yet, Furnish says, and the guest list includes Miley Cyrus, Kourtney and Kim Kardashian. I I don't know, shouldn't assume that you guys know who they are. Katy Perry, Heidi Klum, Chris Brown, Lea Michele, Corey Monteith, Sean Penn, Nicki Minaj, Taye Diggs, Christina Hendricks, Matthew Morrison, Ian Somerhalder, Chris Colfer, Colton Haynes, Steven Tyler, Wilder Valderrama, and many more. Find out if Elton John and David are planning to have more kids. Elton and I make it a point to go around and greet every table, every person during the Oscars broadcast, Furnish says. We're probably the only people who don't want the Oscars shorter, so we have enough time to greet our guests. The night will include a performance by Next to Me singer Imali Sandhi. As always, a piano will be there just in case John decides he wants to sing too. Why? Eddie Redmayne, this year's Oscar will be the last John and Furnish have invited their friend Adele to stop by after the show. Hopefully with an Oscars for the best original song for Skyfall. My fingers crossed and toes are crossed also that she wins, Furnish says. There will also be a separate room held for close friends to visit with Furnish and John's son, Zachary 2, and 6-week-old Elijah. I think we're certainly going to end AIDS in my children's lifetime, Furnish said, and I'd love for that to be sooner than later. I've been following these parties for a long time. I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm very interested in Hollywood and celebrities throwing these after parties and pre-parties. And it's really surprising because for many of you, you probably view these parties as like just get-togethers, drinking the best wine and having the best food, the best company. But surprisingly enough, there are actually like charities behind a lot of these places. And my favorite one is Elton John's, just because he's so adamant about finding cures and he's so determined to find a cure for AIDS. And it's one of those diseases that, it, as you all know, there's no cure for. So it's awesome that he turns his status and his celebrity power for the greater good. So I'm hoping right there along with them that there's an end to AIDS. Moving right along, call him Jackson 1. Michael Jackson's brother, Jermaine, has successfully changed his famous surname to Jackson, as in J-A-C-K-S-U-N, not S-O-N. According to court documents obtained by E! News, a court commissioner signed off on the 58-year-old singer's petition today, officially making him Jermaine Luwain Jackson. The fourth eldest of Catherine and Joe Jackson's sprawling brood has not yet commented us, and his switch became legal, but a spokesperson for Jermaine told us back when he first filed for his petition in November that his decision to change one letter of his name was a personal choice and not a big deal. So, leaving you with that, I'm going to give you guys like a couple second break to do whatever it is you need to do, whether it's go to the bathroom, grab a snack, whatever, and I will be back very shortly. You're listening to You Know You Love It with DJ Gossip Girl, only on radio.dominican.edu.
I long to see the sunlight in your hair and tell you time and time again how much I care. Sometimes I feel my heart will overflow. Hello, I've just got to let you know. Cause I wonder where you are, and I wonder what you do. Are you somewhere feeling lonely, or is someone loving you? Tell me how to win your heart, for I haven't got a clue. But let me start by saying I love you.
Hey again, it's DJ Gossip Girl. You're listening to You Know You Love It, only on radio.dominican.edu. For those of you just tuning in, I was just going over my past first segment, Celebrity News, which is continuing now. Just a brief recap on what's been going on. We were just talking about Jermaine Jackson changing his name. Elton John and his husband's big Oscar party for the benefit of AIDS. And we also went over Steven Tyler's drug use. Not very interesting, but I feel like there's some people who would like to know that kind of stuff. Anywho, moving right along. Everybody, 90s children, where are you at? Backstreet Boys were a huge hit in my childhood. I mean, between Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys was my favorite. I personally had a crush, too, on Nick Carter, who I'm going to give you a little piece of news on. Nick Carter has shown his girlfriend the shape of his heart. The Backstreet Boys engaged to 29-year-old fitness expert Lauren Kitt. After popping the question on a small island in the Florida Keys, People magazine reports that he proposed with a 7-carat diamond ring. Oh my gosh. Carter hinted at the proposal on his Instagram account today, posting a photo with his gal in a cryptic caption, "Big question, great answer." The 33-year-old and his fiance have been dating for 4 years, and again, he proposed with a 7-carat diamond ring. I don't know if any of you followed Nick Carter much after the Backstreet Boys thing. I mean, they've reunited with New Kids on the Block, I'm pretty sure. Big 80s boy band. And so now they're like NKTSBBSBBBBB. Huge acronym. I don't even know what it is. But I know, from what I understood correctly, he was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, and he has really struggled with drugs, as Aaron Carter has too. They also had a sister pass in 2010. I think her name was Lindsay Carter. They briefly had a TV show MTV, pretty sure it was MTV. And life seemed it wasn't great, but it seemed stable. But I guess, based off just what I've heard and what I've seen, him and Aaron Carter, another famous hunky 90s boy, they really struggled these past few years. So I'm glad that Nick Carter is able to just finally settle down and call it quits and just be able to move on with a happy, stable lifestyle. Taylor Swift. Who doesn't love a good Taylor Swift story? You probably already know what I'm going to talk about, too. Taylor Swift knows how to give and take when it comes to both her hookups and her breakups. The Grammy-winning songstress, who's notorious for penning revenge-slathered tunes about her exes, said that her disgruntled former flames are more than welcome to return the favor by writing not-so-flattering tunes about her as well. And seeing as two of those exes are musicians, John Mayer and most recently One Direction's Harry Styles, I don't think that's a very bold offer to give. Also, a couple of Taylor Swift's biggest breakups, Jake Gyllenhaal, John Mayer, and Connor Kennedy. Yeah, Harry Styles isn't alone. The 23-year-old singer, who recently performed at the Grammys with a faux British accent, took this as a dig to Styles. Just recap. I mean, she came out in a white wedding dress, performing in a British accent. Okay, girl, you're not from Britain, so that's very uncalled for. So that everyone took it as a dig. It was mostly interpreted. She says that she'd be down for some reciprocal tributes from her exes. "If I'm going to write songs about my exes, they can write songs about me," she tells UK in Style. "That's how it works. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to sit there and say I'm the only one who can write songs about this relationship. It's fair games. Look at this gal who was spotted earlier with British Tom singer Tom Odell, knows how to go tit for tat." So we all know how Taylor Swift likes to conduct her songs. I've listened to every single song. I love Taylor Swift. She really hits a lot of points in my life. I mean, she is my voice, literally. I haven't heard her write one happy love song in forever. I mean, it just seems like there's never going to be a bright side. I mean, she dated, like I said, John Mayer, Jake Gyllenhaal, Connor Kennedy, Harry Styles. I feel like she's just kind of digging herself in a grave. For me, it's like she's like a child. It's weird to think that Adele, who's also 23, and her are the same age at two different points in their life. When I think Adele, I think she's grounded, she's normal, she's not stuck in high school. I feel like Taylor Swift is just stuck in high school, and yeah, she's laughing all the way to the bank about these breakup songs, but it's like, if I were these guys, I would just be over it. And I mean, not trying to be rude or anything, but Taylor Swift, you're looking at a very long, lonely life with lots of cats in the middle of nowhere. So, piece of advice, girl, chill out, on the dishing and bashing and trashing, and it just, it'll get you nowhere. And this new guy, Tom Odell, that you're seeing, yeah, you better run, because if you write a song about him, there's not going to say that he won't write a nastier song about you, which will just take all of your record sales down the toilet. Yep, that's right. But anyway, forget about Taylor Swift. I'm sure she's just going to continue this long pattern of breakups and makeups and songs and breakups and makeups and songs. So Donald Trump, next target, Donald Trump. You can't backtrack now, Donald Trump. We saw your tweet, some of Wheezy lyrics. So Donald is claiming that his Twitter was hacked because he was ashamed of how big a fan he was of Lil Wayne. We're not sure why anyone would be ashamed of that, especially if you've already got a problem with thinking you're not very cool. Donald Trump, where do I even start? I thought when he did The Apprentice, he was this huge mogul, so successful, moneymaker, shark, whatever. And I had so much respect for him. I mean, I was only like, 15 when I like first knew who he was. And I thought, wow, this guy's really got it going. And then he went through his little bankruptcy thing. And I'm like, you know what? Everyone makes mistakes. Not everyone can stay on top forever. And now with just the stupid stuff he says in the media and the stupid things he does and the you're fired and whatever. I mean, I think he's kind of a goofball just trying to stay relevant in Hollywood. I mean, his time is up and I feel like he just doesn't understand that. I feel like maybe this was a midlife crisis. Maybe he looked up the lyric, he like guessed a random like Lil Wayne songs on Google and then picked a song and picked the lyrics and like tweeted it. And now that he's getting attention again, he's saying, oh, no, that's not me. I'm a victim. Pretty pathetic, but whatever. I mean, old men just try to stay as relevant as they can, because if as long as you're relevant, you're making money. On to more serious and more upsetting news. Mindy McCready and her family and friends are devastated by her death. Yes, Mindy McCready, if for some of you probably don't know, she passed away this past week. They are saying it's suicide. This is a really sad and rough subject just because she was accused of killing, I think it was her boyfriend, and she was the target and the main suspect, and then just a few days later, she committed suicide. But again, family and friends are devastated by her death, but they wanted to celebrate her life. The late country star's funeral and memorial plans were revealed Friday. Her family has planned a private funeral service to be held Tuesday at Crossroads Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Burial arrangements have not been yet finalized by the family. Her memorial, which was being organized by her friends, peers, and music community, is tentatively scheduled for March 6th at the Cathedral of Incarnation in Nashville, Tennessee. Last week's show, I was just giving news on Whitney Houston and the one-year tribute to her, and it just goes back to, it's so sad to watch the good die young. It's so sad. It started with, Marilyn Monroe, and we've had Whitney Houston, Anna Nicole Smith, and Heath Ledger. I mean, it's very upsetting to see such young people with such great talent just die so young. They have so much potential, so my thoughts and prayers really go out to Mindy and her family and her kids, her two young kids that she left behind. It's just awful. Moving right along to something a little bit more upbeat, I guess you could say. It's more of like a surprise. Brandi Glanville of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, by the way, huge fan. It's my guilty pleasure. Brandi Glanville just has come out with a book, Drinking and Tweeting and Other Brandi Blunders. She has been caught at all her book signings, and she has, I'm very up to date on this. I mean, it is juicy drama. She was the ex-wife of Eddie Cibrian, who was an actor, I think, on All the Days of Our Lives, and he did a movie for Lifetime, The Northern Lights, and that's where he met his now wife, Leanne Rimes. And from what I understand from all these stories, Eddie Cibrian is a dog, D-O-G. He's nasty. He had a wife first. Before Brandi, he had a wife. Met Brandi, cheated on his wife with Brandi Glanville. Brandi states, oh, I had no idea he had a wife. Oh my gosh. Then he broke up with his wife to get married to Brandi. With Brandi, I guess he was like having like these temptations to cheat on her. So Brandi got all nasty and was doing, she was basically just became very loose. That's a very relevant way to put it. She became loose. And they had a very open marriage. Very, very open. And She's just trying to keep her husband interested. This man is just a dog. He goes off for a movie and he meets Leann Rimes, who's also married. They start having a little love affair, and then before you know it, they get together. Eddie leaves Brandy, and Leanne leaves her husband, and then they're both left in the dust, and they're getting married, and it's just been this crazy feud of who's right and who's wrong. And I'm not that there should be sides, but I'm siding with Brandy. I mean, a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but I'm going to just stand by my girl and say, do you know what? She's a single mom. She did everything right. She's trying to keep and provide for her sons, and people are just trying to bring her down. And Leann Rimes, she's not innocent. I follow both of them on Twitter just to see what the story is straight, and Leann is mean. She is a mean girl. Taylor Swift wrote that song Mean, I am sure, for Leann Rimes, because she loves to just rub Brandy's kids in her face and yada, yada, yada. So basically, I'm getting off track, but the point is, after this book, Drinking and Tweeting and Other Brandy Blunders, Brandy has solemnly swore to not speak of the Leann and Eddie situation anymore. She says, once this book is done and I'm done with everything, I'm done with them, period. And they're not very happy about that because she exploited a lot of their stories in this book. But what really got everyone going is that Brandy told reporters that she's coming out with a second book. I believe it will not have either Eddie or Leann in it, but they seem to think that they're relevant still in her life and that they can just keep sliming and slithering off her paycheck for that book. But Brandy's in the works right now with her publisher to possibly producing a new book, maybe like a memoir more about her, not about her drama past relationships. So Brandy, I'm really rooting for you. I am so proud of you. And as she even said, Yolanda Foster and Lisa Vanderpump have been so supportive to me. I mean, they're tweeting about it. They're putting links out there. They came to the first book party. They've been super supportive, those two. I am so glad that she has a support and she has a strong group of friends to keep her grounded. So you go, girl. All right, guys. So that's it for my celebrity news segment. I'm going to take a quick radio station break. And when I come back, we will do my favorite, Trending with the Stars, love it or hate it. So stay tuned and I'll be right back. Hey listeners, this is DJ Gossip Girl with You Know You Love It, only at radio.dominican.edu. So for you, those of you who are listening, we are going to start with my second segment, Trending with the Stars, Love It or Hate It. For those of you who are just joining and you aren't quite sure what I'm talking about, Trending with the Stars, Love It or Hate It is my thing of what's going on in Hollywood. What's everyone wearing? What's everyone doing? Clothes, nails, hairs, makeup, accessories. What's hot right now? And I'm basically stating, do I love it or do I hate it? So starting with my first trend. In Hollywood, celebs such as Selena Gomez, Gabrielle Union, and even Taylor Swift have been going for a very natural appearance when it comes to their cosmetics. The Hollywood beauties have learned less is more with a simple foundation, blush, top eyeliner, and mascara. It has a very natural, very polished look to it, and they even top it off with a very natural nude glossy lip. It's very clean and very sophisticated. It really accentuates natural beauty. I'm looking at a picture right now of Taylor Swift, and she's kind of been doing this trend a little longer. She, thank God, got rid of that red lipstick because she looked so haggard. She had like that gray, almost like the ashy gray blonde hair and the really blunt bangs, and she wore like the oversized clothes and like no makeup. But now that she's starting to really brighten her hair up, I mean, I feel like it's really brightening her features, and I just love it because it's so beautiful. It's like they're only adding enough makeup to just accentuate what they have, like accentuate the eyelashes, accentuate their cheekbones, and it's just so beautiful. So with that said, I love it. Miley Cyrus, Eva Longoria, and Jessica Biel, as well as other celebrities, have been so serious and so adamant about rocking the side boob. Yeah, you heard me right, the side boob. I've seen it mostly in gowns at award shows. This trend could honestly go either way, in my opinion. I mean, if you were to have too much skin showing, like a really short mini dress and a low back and then a side boob, I would say, ew, you look a little sleazy. But if you're more covered up, like in a floor-length gown, you're covered up higher in the front, maybe like your like a little back is showing, I would just say it's beautiful. It's very risque without being too sleazy. Miley Cyrus, she looked beautiful. And I mean, it's taken me a while to really accept her really short blonde faux hawk thing because she doesn't look very feminine. But now I feel like she's really starting to work it. And I mean, she had a really long black gown dress covered high in the front, cut low on the sides, and it was just floor length, beautiful masterpiece. Oh, I wish I knew the designer's name. So beautiful. So with the side boob, if it is done right, like I said, I love it. So gorgeous, so scandalous, but so sophisticated. Cozy oversized knits and roomy coats have been seen at Thay Skin Theories, Alexander Wayne, Philip Lim, and others that have indicated that fall 2013 is all about the laid-back simplicity. So I've been following Fashion Week and what's been going on, and it appears that really the trend that is really going strong for fall 2013 is the comfy, sophisticated look. They showed a couple looks for daytime and nightwear, and daytime they had this really cute, chunky, like knit cardigan off-the-shoulder sweater. And then like shorts and tights and like big chunky heels, like the Jeffrey Campbell type heels. So cute. And then at nighttime, they take that same sweater, throw like a pencil skirt with it and like some like tights or stockings and heels and like chunky necklace. And it was just beautiful. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm very into being comfortable and looking good. I mean, all my pants, when I go out, they're like jeggings. They're jeggings. They're like stretchy tights. I wear stretchy tank tops underneath. I mean, for me, black is better. That was also another trend that, and I haven't mentioned that I really love black. You can never go wrong with black. It could be very casual, very sophisticated, very classy. So again, I love this trend. It's enveloped in heavy texture, just it really takes over, and it's just so flattering on really any body style. I don't care what anybody says, like comfy and loose and just flowy is just a great style. A refreshing update to outerwear, the cape. It has commanded my attention on the runway, as seen at Derek Lamb, Tibby, and others. Polished, pretty, and playful, capes are a perfect piece to add to your wardrobe, but on the same time, it looks like a vampire costume or something silly. I mean, I wish I could say it goes either way. It looked, on the model, it looked pretty, but she was all glammed out. I feel like there's two ways to put things on the runway. It's runway pretty or it's runway, or I mean, it's like everyday pretty. And I would say the cape is more runway pretty, but in everyday life, it's just silly. I mean, I've seen celebrities try and do the cape thing and it just looks awkward because it's really short and I'm just, I don't like it. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Last week, I mentioned in my trending Love It or Hate It about nail art. And I was just flipping through a magazine not too long ago, and I came across nail art again. And this time, it really has taken me by surprise. It is beautiful. So, and that kind of gives away what I'm going to say. But I was looking at a couple celebrities, and Sarah Hyland had just plain black nails, and she had gold crosses on top of all of her fingers. Very simple, but very spunky at the same time, and I loved it. Adele had, she went with more of a two-tone, and it shows in her picture that she had like a rosy pink, and then she put like a coral, like fire, like a orange burnt fire color of glitter over it, giving it this very embery, shiny, glittery, like a fire appearance. It was awesome. I loved it. And then Anne Hathaway, this one was, my fave. Hands down fave. This is what I would do if I had the choice. Pearl accents. So in this picture, she took a very light pastel pink and then she got white pearls and she mixed it in her polish and she painted it over. So it almost looks like she has pearls coming out of her nails. And it's very subtle looking, but at the same time, when they zoomed in on it, it's very beautiful. Kaylee Cuoco, she did something a little bit more interesting and it's very bold. She had those cat claw nails, which I'm not a fan of. I said last week, bear claws, but she had red and then she had pink hearts like towards like her cuticles. And it was very interesting. I really enjoyed it. It was very fun, very flirty. But my hands down favorite aside from Anne Hathaway was Busy Phillips. She did the 3D bling. She had in this picture a nude color and then she almost, it looks like she like ombre'd it a little bit. She took little tiny like bedazzled jewels and started out at her cuticle and worked her way down into chunkier diamonds, giving it the appearance that her nails were like raining diamonds. It was very glamorous and I love it. Nail art is my favorite. I'm actually gonna go get my nails done after this because they're looking a little drab. So good for you, ladies. Really rocking those nails. I'm going to take another quick station break. I will be back in just a matter of seconds. So if you have something you need to do, go do it really quick. And I will be back very shortly. This is You Know You Love It with DJ Gossip Girl, only on radio.dominican.edu.
Drastic chance on a mistake that wouldn't last, but it always happened so fast. I don't wanna make the same mistake, just let me make this one right here, right now. It's all I'm living in. Take my heart.
Hey there, listeners. This is DJ Gossip Girl on You Know You Love It, only on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for joining me. For people who are just listening, as I said, I was going to continue my Trending with the Stars, Love It or Hate It. For those of you just joining, a brief recap on what exactly Trending with the Stars is what's going on in Hollywood, what's hot, what's happening, what's going on? I mean, dresses, hair, makeup, accessories, what's cool, and I'm giving my opinion on whether or not I love it or I hate it. Something that's come across my attention that I'm so just, it's a cut above the rest. So I've noticed a lot of stars in Hollywood have been going for these cuts, whether it's above their shoulders, lower back, the sweetheart necklace, I mean, necklines, it's just cut, like literally, it looks like someone took scissors and just all over their dress. And people like Emily Blunt or Kelly Osbourne, Jennifer Lawrence, Nina Dubrov, they're really, it's interesting. I mean, Nina Dubrov has that sweetheart line in her sequin gown right on her chest. Emily Blunt has these cutouts on her shoulders, just her shoulders. Look like someone took scissors, just spliced her shoulders up and stuck one in her side. And then Kelly Osbourne, she got like every cut you could. She had it on her shoulders, her boobs, her underneath her boobs. She had her back. I mean, it's very interesting, but it's very scandalous, and I'm going to have to say I love it. I just love, love, love. I have never wore a dress with a cutout before, but from what I'm seeing just in this article, it's beautiful. I mean, it's very tasteful, and it's very conservative, but there's that little, like, ooh, peekaboo. Especially the dress Jennifer Lawrence was wearing. It was a very covered, nice, long, tight dress, whatever. And then she has these little slits in her arms. It's just very pretty. Or Nina Dubrov, she had a blue sequin mini dress on, and it was almost like a tutu at the bottom. And she had the thick straps, and it respectively covers her chest area. And then she has the nice little cutout just to almost give like a peekaboo, like I'm scandalous and I'm young. So I really enjoy this trend. And I feel like this, if it done tastefully, could be a trend that'll carry on for a while. Another trend I'm starting to be getting a little nervous about is the headphones. This makes me very nervous. I mean, for me, I just like my little earbuds. I like to keep them very subtle. I don't like people to know that I'm listening to music or talking to someone, but it seems like celebrities are taking their earbuds or their headphones to a whole nother level. It started out with Dr. Dre and his Beats. And now there's the tracks. Ashley Simpson, she designed a pair of headphones. Skullcandy, the Troopers. I don't even know who half these people are. And it's kind of awkward. I mean, I don't know about any other people out there, but as a girl, having these big, huge, clunky earphones, like listening to music and having everyone hear what I'm listening to, it's just very awkward. I feel very exposed. So with this funky accessory trend, I'm going to have to say I hate it. I don't see what the problem is with earbuds. Moving right along. Reese Witherspoon and Cameron Diaz are just a few of many celebs who have brought back a purse trend. And I haven't seen purse trends in a while. It's been a very, very long time since I have seen a good, decent purse trend. I mean, last purse trend I followed was like last summer, and it was the little satchel. Now it's kind of like anything goes. But Reese Witherspoon and Cameron Diaz have, it's kind of like a big bag and a satchel. It goes either way. It's like a mullet, party in the front, business in the back, or whatever that saying is. Reese Witherspoon has a black, what is that? I'm not even sure what. Oh, it's an Aldo. She has a black Aldo bag, and it's about the size of, let's see, small box. And it's very boxy. I'm not really a fan of the box, but it's very conventional. It's like a small little box, and it has little handles to carry it like a purse or carry it on your arm, but it also has a big strap that you can leave hanging for style or carrying it as a satchel. So I'm very big fan of it. It's not too big, not too small. It could be fancier, it could be casual. I'm going to have to say I love it. I'm a sucker for a good purse. Mom, if you're listening, keep that in mind. Thank you. My final trend that I have been a fan of since I was very, very young in my middle school ages, the celeb aviator shade. It's very mysterious, very fancy, very casual. It's very, I don't know, it just makes me so excited. I have a pair of like three aviators and I feel like a celebrity. I feel like I put those bad boys on and I look down and I feel like this cool celebrity, like, oh, everyone's watching me and taking pictures. Not really, but kind of. Hilary Duff was seen rocking these reflective metal aviator shades. They come in blue, green, and orange. I think, again, they give that mysterious vibe, but they're so casual, and they look good on just about any face shape. I mean, really, they're very complimentary of any face shape, and I love it. So, with that said, I love the trend. Hollywood's doing hot right now. Oh, but speaking of purses, I found this and this was very interesting. Alice and Olivia have really broken the mold for what's going on in Hollywood. They're always, every time I see who's wearing this or what's hot right now with clothes or accessories, it's always Alice and Olivia. And I have just come across their designer bag debut. And this bag has seemed to be the mold of all bags, whether it's a satchel, a suitcase, a large bag. I mean, it's the mold. Alice and Olivia have created another version of their original handbag, and it's a box, literally. It's like just as boxy and like sharp edges as it gets, with the two little handles, almost like a little briefcase. And I don't know why, but some stars think that it's so attractive, but I feel like that purse is so awkward because it can't just like hang off your arm. You have to carry it like a little like duffel bag or a briefcase. Alice and Olivia say it's $495, but to me it looks like it's a $50 bag. I don't know, nothing special about it, but I guess stars are raving about it. They want this bag. They want bags like it. So when it comes to the boxy bag with the awkward little U handles, I'm going to have to say I hate that trend. Blech. I like a bag with shape. As for makeup, I haven't really gotten much into makeup. It's really weird. And I feel like there's just every right now the trends are anything goes. As long as you look hot, then that's the trend. Leah Michele and Carrie Underwood have been really, really good at, and very, really gorgeous, by the way, rocking the nude. Carrie Underwood has been more famous for her nude lips. And I mean, every award show she's been to, it's always been this very subtle blush or skin tone lipstick. And she has a nice little gloss over it. And Leah Michele, she's not only been doing nude lips, but nude fingernails. And I must say, I'm a fan of the nude fingernails just because it's very chic. It's the new French manicure almost. It's very subtle, but it's very polished and it's very clean. And you really can't go wrong, because for me, I'm a nail freak. I feel like your nails always need to look nice because you never know who you're going to meet and shake hands with and have them like see your hands. Even though it's not that big of a deal, it kind of is. So when it comes to the nudes, I'm going to have to say I love it. This trend will never get old for me. I feel like nude makeup is the black of clothes. I mean, black never goes out of style when it comes to like outer attire, like dresses and jackets and pants. And again, I think nudes will never go out of style. You can really honestly never go wrong. Like I said last week and today, nude really accentuates natural beauty and it really enhances parts of your face. I mean, the slightest shade can just throw your face off. So keeping it more subtle just really helps. So I love, 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 love the nude. So that wraps up for my Trending with the Stars, love it or hate it. Again, I'm going to go run and take a quick little station break, and you guys do what you need to do. Run to the bathroom, grab a snack. I'll be back in a few seconds, and I look forward to sharing with you my next segment. We'll be right back.
I'm heading out to where the people can't pronounce my name. I say it loud, babe. I say it loud, babe. Shut your door, babe. Shut your door, babe. Now she's walking without shoes, and then she kneels on down to pray. Trying hard to remind her so she doesn't slip away. And over there, you are safe in your haven. Over there, you are meant to be. But all along, you were wrong, but it was
again, my listeners. This is DJ Gossip Girl with You Know You Love It, only on radio.dominican.edu. So, you guys, this isn't really a segment to my show, but it's more of in honor of the Oscars. I've been so lucky. I mean, every week there's always been an award show. So I'm going to give you this is a little treat. The best and worst Oscar speeches and my predictions for attire, what women are going to be wearing, what men are going to be wearing, what I hope to see them wearing. So I'm going to start out with the best and worst Oscar speeches. You're only 2 years older than me, darling. Where have you been all my life? Christopher Plummer, to his statue, 2011 Best Supporting Actor. I think we all can't believe we're in the category with Meryl Streep at all, but I'm sorry, Meryl, but you just have to suck that up. Kate Winslet, 2008 Best Actress. This is my favorite. When they called my name, I had the feeling of, I could hear half of America going, oh no, come on, her again? You know, but whatever. Meryl Streep, 2011 Best Actress. I said to Matt that losing would suck, but winning would be really scary. Ben Affleck with Matt Damon, 1997 Best Original Screenplay. Though this really tugged at my heartstrings because this was very heartfelt. I'm just a girl from a trailer park who had a dream. Hilary Swank, 2004 Best Actress. I bet they didn't tell you that this was in the gift bag. Adrian Brody after kissing presenter Adrian Brody after kissing presenter Halle Berry, 2002 Best Actor. Stickman, I See You, Julia Roberts, waving off pit conductor Bill Conti, 2000 Best Actress. Thank you to Martin Scorsese, I Hope My Son Will Marry Your Daughter, Kate Blanchett, 2004 Supporting Actress. Okay, this one was weird. This is when everyone knows her. Angelina Jolie was in her little weird streak of... Yeah, I'll just read it off. I'm so in love with my brother right now. 1999 Best Supporting Actress, Angelina Jolie. I'm just going to briefly recap on that. Icky. Just weird. I don't even know how that made it into best. Actually, that is the worst. This one was awesome too. Most of all, I want to thank my father up there, the man who, when I said I wanted to be an actor, he said, "Wonderful, just have a backup profession like welding." Robin Williams, 1997, Best Supporting Actor. I think if anything, after I was reading all of these, I had an appreciation for where I came from and to be humbled. These actors really, they work their butts off and people don't give them enough credit. People think, oh, it's easy money, it's easy this, but they're really, it is raw talent. They are doing everything they can. They're doing everything right. And let's not lie, the people who are also complaining, saying they do nothing and get so much money for it, you watch half of their shows or you listen to half of their records. So I really, the Oscars just, I love it. I'm so humbled. It's very humbling experience to watch these actors and actresses get recognized for all of their hard work and not even expect it. So also in honor of the Oscars, I've been kind of studying and just briefly looking on websites here and there about celebrities and what they've worn at the Oscars in the past, would have been hits, and what they wore at last week's Academy Awards. And I'm looking at pictures right now. There's Reese Witherspoon, and this was my favorite look. And they didn't date when it was from. I think it was maybe 5 or so years ago. She had this really beautiful black mermaid gown, very tight and fitting, and then at the bottom it was just a little flare, and she had this white little band strap around it, and she had her hair in a very old-fashioned glam ponytail, very simple subtle eye makeup, and she's already very beautiful, but this was just my favorite look of her because she really showed off her shoulders, she showed off her face, her eyes were beautiful, her hair was flowing and beautiful. It was gorgeous. There's also Nicole Kidman in this dress. Ooh, I really wish they put the dates on these. It was at the Oscars when she had that really long, I think it was Robert Cavalli dress, and it floor length, and it had that big bow, like that turtleneck big bow, and she had her hair just so simple, straight into the side, red lipstick, and she is just a classic beauty. She is really a beautiful woman, and that was one of my favorite dresses. Gwyneth Paltrow, this was at the past Oscars. She had this white, I don't even know what the heck this is, white wedding dress looking thing, and it was an off the shoulder gown, and then all of a sudden it turned into like a blazer cape. Like it looks, it has like shoulder pads, but it looks like it was a blazer and then turned into a cape. Really, 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 really weird. I hope to see, just from briefly recapping on these past dresses, I hope to see a lot of gold. I mean, so cliche because the Oscars, the figure is gold. Really hope to see some more golds. Like I said, I hope to see more more nude cosmetics, like really nude lips, a beigey champagne eyeshadows, big eyelashes. I'm such a fan of really eyes popping and big eyelashes. I'm hoping to see more down-dos, because I feel like after last week's with the posh ponytails and the slicked back hair, I mean, I just let your hair down, be free. I mean, there's already enough stress on you guys as is, so just let your hair go wild and do all that fun stuff. Also, this is, I thought this was very shocking too. This is kind of almost breaking news. Zero Dark Thirty did not get nominated for the Oscars. Yeah, OMG. I saw Zero Dark Thirty, and it was, I think it's a movie all Americans should see, regardless of your political stance, because it's very insightful into how much work and time went into capturing and Osama bin Laden, and really putting all of us Americans at ease. Zero Dark Thirty was not nominated, and from stories I've read in the past, just in the past few weeks, a lot of people have had an issue with it just because they do not like how Americans have been perceived, and it's unfortunate because it's like, it's a something that people deserve to know, people deserve to watch, and yes, there's a lot of things that were cut out, and yes, there were a lot of things that were softened, but I truly believe that Zero Dark Thirty should have made it into the cut, because a director put his time and efforts into that movie, as well as the actors and even the behind the scenes guys like tech and special effects. Also with nominating, Argo was nominated for Best Picture. However, Ben Affleck, the director, was not even nominated or put in the category for Best Director. I find that very unfortunate, because how else would that be Best Picture without a director who knew what he was doing? I find it very unfair that they didn't even give him an opportunity to be recognized for his work. And I mean, anybody can respect hard work and putting time and effort into a project, and just not even to be recognized is very hurtful. So I'm really hoping that Ben Affleck will somehow be awarded or recognized for his work. Also up for Best Picture, among aside from Argo, Amour, Beast of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. But wait a minute. Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty. So they're in. Okay, so excuse what I said earlier. Zero Dark Thirty was nominated for Best Picture. I guess there was a miscommunication in my sources. I apologize. Up for Best Actresses, Jessica Chastain, Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence, Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Rivera, Amour, Quvenzhané Wallace, Beast of the Southern Wild, and Naomi Watts, Impossible. Best Song, Adele's Skyfall, is the quintessential Bond theme, yet it still sounds so uniquely her. The Best Foreign Film, this is personally just who I think will win. The Best Foreign Film I think will win is Amour. It redefines what love means with great performances and brutal honesty. So there we have it. I mean, it's kind of hard to report on a show that has yet to happen, but I'm very excited to see where it's going to go. And I cannot wait. I will be that girl. I get so excited for these award shows. I get all prepared and I have to like fast and like get all ready and sit down with all my snacks and my drinks, and it'll just be good. So that wraps up my little Oscar special preview. This is the part of my show where I like to recognize a celebrity on their birthday. Today, again, is February 23rd, and I just want to recognize one celebrity. I mean, there's plenty of celebrities with birthdays on this day, but I just want to recognize one and wish them a happy birthday. So the celebrity I'm wishing happy birthday to today is Dakota Fanning. Dakota Fanning was born February 23rd, 1994, and she turns 18 today. Woohoo! You're finally legal, girl. She is an amazing actress with an amazing gift. Her first major role was in I Am Sam in 2001 when she was only 7 years old. She starred in a national commercial for Tide, also starred in the film The Runaways with Kristen Stewart, and that movie was very controversial because that was the point where she kind of grew up as an actress and she really pushed and broke that mold of being very risque. She also was a child actress in films such as Man on Fire, War of the Worlds, Charlotte's Web, and Uptown Girls with the late Brittany Murphy. I loved Uptown Girls. That was one of my favorite movies. And Brittany Murphy, may she rest in peace, great actress, had great chemistry. And Dakota Fanning was only like 8 years old in that movie, and she rocked it. She was really awesome. She had to play such a mature role, and she nailed it. So happy birthday, Dakota Fanning, and I hope that you have a great 18th birthday. For all my listeners out there, I am sad to report this is coming to a close, and please be able to tune in on every Monday, 3 to 4, to You Know You Love It with your girl, me, DJ Gossip Girl. I hope you all have a wonderful Saturday. I hope you guys have a great rest of the weekend, and I look forward to talking to you in just 2 more days. So again, have a great day. Thank you for listening. This has been DJ Gossip Girl on You Know You Love It, only at radio.dominican.edu.